Well, we're beginning back into the book of Revelation. We're hitting chapter 20 tonight, so we're getting close down to the end of Revelation. We're going to read a lot of scripture tonight because we're heading over into what we call the millennial reign of Christ. But really, Revelation does not cover that from much of a standpoint. It just comes the fact of Jesus comes to throws the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, talks about the destruction of the armies that come out. But it really doesn't say much about it. But we're going to look at scripture because there's a lot written in scripture. I'm going to read some of it tonight, but there's a lot written in scripture about the millennial reign. Because a lot of people make statements about the millennial reign of Christ. For some reason, they think the millennial reign has to do with the church. And it hasn't anything to do with the church. Because of the things that we read and it talks about and even said. In the book of Revelation, we're going to find that the things they're talking about are talking about the people in the earth and not the church. People don't identify, and this is one of the things is I always appreciate. I thought Rhema did a very good job when I was teaching. When they were in school, they would teach us. They would always tell us, Brother Hagin would always say it to us. And he said, if you want to understand scripture, you got to know who God's talking to. And he said, there's three classes of people that God speaks to in the scriptures, and one of them is Israel, one's the church, and the other one's the sinners. And you can't just throw all of it together. If you want to understand what's going on, you got to know who he's talking to. So we want to look at that tonight from the scriptures of who God's talking to concerning the millennial reign, what God is doing, because the millennial reign, we need to understand, we're not natural people at that time. We have already been glorified with Jesus Christ, and so when we see these things, and we're going to go over into chapter 20 and start there. And it starts off, and it says in verse 1, it says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan bound him for 1,000 years. But he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years was finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now, we want to talk about this because, do you notice here about it? It didn't take some special great angel, huge, bigger than everybody, all the other angels, to come and deal with the devil. It didn't require it. It just says, he sent an angel down with a chain. And, we've made the devil such a big wonder, which he is not. In Daniel, it says about that men will look and say, is this the one that deceived the nation? This dude? And he's been magnified and glorified way out of space and time. And he's going to be bound with a chain. In other words, there's going to be a seal put on him where he'll be bound in the bottomless pit. He'll not be able to deceive people anymore. He won't be able to do that in the earth for 1,000 years. And it says that though he will be released for a period of time, and it's important to understand that he's going to be released for a purpose. And we'll go into that later on and find out why. We also find Peter made a statement in 2 Peter about the angels that fell with Lucifer. Peter said in 2 Peter in the second chapter, verse 4, he said, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to reserve for the judgment, he cast them down to hell. It says, concerning in chains and really chains of darkness. In other words, we understand it's Satan's kingdom. Satan and his angels know a lot of things, but they don't have, like we would say, it's a walk in the light of revelation. They don't know what God's doing. We need to understand about these beings. One of the things people misunderstand very much about Satan and about angels, demonic angels, they are not omnipotent. They don't know everything. In fact, many times they don't even know what you're thinking. They don't know what your thoughts. Bible talks about God knowing people's thoughts, but don't say the devil does. You know, the devil and spirits around you get to learn a lot about you by your voice, the things you say. It's how they get to know what's going on around a lot about you. They don't have revelation. In other words, there's a lot of, they're darkened to things. And so when this is talking about darkening and chains and things, we're not specifically talking about natural, as like we think about things. And so it's like people being held in darkness. If you look at from a scriptural standpoint, people who don't receive Christ, the Bible talks about those individuals, that they're in darkness and they walk in dark. They can't see the truth. It talks about the people who follow the Antichrist. They're walking in an area of deception. We need to understand God is the revealer of the things of His kingdom. And the only people that know about things are the ones who He enlightens. We act like the lights just turned on out here and people can just pick stuff up. It don't work like that. It never has. You know, that's why, you know, we preach the gospel to the unsaved for them to come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. Until they do that, there's no point in God giving them light to what the Bible says. There's no point to it. Probably it'd be their great deception. It would even make it worse for them. They'd think, become more deceived in their ideas and thinking. So we need to understand in how God deals. God just doesn't turn the light on for everybody to know things if God's not revealing. Man, in his state here in the earth, or whether it's beings in the spirit realm, they don't know. They don't know any more than God reveals. He's a revealer, not us. This is one of the problems I see in the church world today, is most of the church is intellectual and not spiritual. They're just they interpret the Bible by intellectualism. They do it by, and they think they know things. And you know that they don't because of what they do. Intellectual Christians will sin. And they'll walk in, they'll just sin. Oh, they'll have this knowledge and that thing, but they won't follow things. Why? They don't have the power to do it. Only through revelation do you get the power to be able to walk in light. Revelation brings the knowledge, really, the supernatural knowledge that gives man power to walk in light. So the revelation of God of Jesus Christ, if a man accepts it, a man gets born again. He goes from a spiritually dead being to a spiritual living being, all because of a revelation God gives him. And the Word is always that way. And so the Holy Spirit is the revealer. He's God the Holy Spirit in us to reveal things to us. And always rely on that in you is the one who reveals the Word. Hallelujah. Revealed Word to you is much easier to walk in than just trying to follow religious traditions and ideas and things of men. It'll just wear you out. You know, religious people are never happy people. You never met religious people. They're always mad at somebody about something. And especially you don't do what they want. They're so loving. They just want to choke you. You got to do what they want, you know. You know, there's the other side of it. Truly spiritual people understand why evil people are evil. They don't get so frustrated about all this stuff. It's one of the things I see a lot of people, Christianity today, are just frustrated about people in the earth and what's going on. You know why? Because they ain't spiritual themselves. They might be born again, but they never got spiritual. They're looking at everything through natural eyes, you know. God so loved the world, you know. He loved us all when we was ugly. Thank God He didn't turn on us. Hallelujah. So people still got time, and I really do believe this. In the last days, religious people, religious Christians are always going to be the most surprised about who comes into the kingdom and who starts following God. It'll always be the ones they never expected to. You know, they always expected somebody who was a pretty good person might, you know. But somehow God reaches them ugly ones and brings them in. And those are the ones that are usually the most on fire for God. Hallelujah. He's good. But what I want to do is I'm going to read to you the scriptures because we're stepping into this place here at this time when Satan's bound starts the millennial reign of Christ. And we want to see what was written because there's a lot written in the Old Testament about this millennial reign. God pointed to the future for Israel. Understand, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of others, like say in his time period of teaching and stuff, they always talked about the Jews. They did their covenant and stuff, like our covenant and stuff. We have, our covenant is on the side of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We're born again. They had what they called a promissory note of that to come. In other words, their covenant was showing that that was going to happen. And they were walking in faith what was to come in the future, which they never saw. But they walked in the light of that, looking toward the future. And so when we go into the scriptures and look at what is written here about the millennial reign, this is pointing to Israel, because Israel is going to, it's like today, Israel's in a mess position, because even though God is dealing with them nationally, they still have not accepted the Messiah. Now, there are Jews who are born again in Israel, but they're really a minority, a very small amount. Not like, well, the majority of Jews in Israel, if you went today, are atheists. They don't follow God. They don't follow none of that stuff. They don't. And everybody has this idea that Jews mean a certain religion. Jews is a nationality of people that is not a religious. If you go over just that, don't mean they follow God or they have follow the Torah or anything like that, because they are Jews has nothing to do with it. They're just a group of people that they have today. What you have the Orthodox Jews who follow after things of the law, follow that, but they're a small minority too. They're not the majority of anything. So, but the ones that do follow now. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah the second chapter. I'm going to start reading here. Isaiah the second chapter and verse, I'm going to start at verse 1 and read. It says, "The word of the Lord, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come to say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.'" So during that time period, there's not going to be any wars we have in this. But we see this as people coming up to Jerusalem. I made mention last week about the fact that if you looked at maps at the time of Israel, when Israel had maps, Israel was always the center of the world. And Israel will be the center of the world during the millennial reign. It will be the center. Everything will be directed. There will, other capitals and that stuff are not going to have no significance in comparison to Jerusalem. There, Jesus Christ sets up his reign. And in that reign that he's setting up there, Israel is the focus of that. Out of Israel, it says the law is going to go. Now, I want you to understand this. When people talk about these things, we read a lot into stuff. We need to be careful in what we interpret, because we interpret in the light of where we are in our time. The church world and time period no longer exists. That has been gone. We have here dealing with God's in the earth. When Jesus comes to earth, we already have read the scripture. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. The law is going to exist. He's going to rule by law. Not like people think it's going to be this thing. In fact, we don't have or any of these things with the idea that people are going to be getting born again. Oh, people read all of it into it, but scripture never says it. That's why I just sort of leave things out. We have said too much to give too many ideas. It doesn't talk about that at all, or anything like that, of the people in the earth during that time period. It doesn't talk about that at all. Because if those people were getting born again, then we wouldn't have taking place when Satan's released again, would not be taking place. But see, people read all kind of stuff into things, and they would be better off if they didn't and just paid attention to what the Bible says. We get too much over in the areas is the Christian today takes and carries off the beliefs of the Christian today under the New Testament. They carry it to the Old Testament and they try to put it like those people over there. They were not. No, they weren't. You know, they were never born again. They weren't. We can't identify. There's things we can't identify with them. And there's things that them and their way that they walked, we can't walk. We were held at a higher place of really what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. They weren't. And we need to get a hold of this fact. We are in a higher spot. God expects more out of us. And but the church world has thought that grace meant God don't we just take care of it. We just live however we want to. They never read the Bible or studied the Bible. It's not been like that. If being born again you do less than what people who didn't, then Jesus died in vain and it wasn't worth spit. And much of the church treats grace like it ain't. God's Jesus dying on the cross and resurrection ain't worth spit. They make grace into a terrible thing. Grace is the ability of God working in us. You and I have God's ability. Now, in Isaiah also wrote in the 11th chapter again. Isaiah spoke, if you really take Isaiah did a bunch of prophecy concerning the Messiah, and also toward the end, there's loads of stuff that Isaiah talked. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 4, says this, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips when he shall slay the wicked." See, we've already been reading through that part. This is what he has done coming into this millennial reign. "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little children shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra hole, and the weaning child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." I want you to get this. He said, in all my holy mountain. He didn't say in all the earth, did he?
No.
We're not going to find out that. We're going to find out this is not the only place this is said. See, people say in the earth, all of this is going to. He didn't say, the scripture does not say that. Get it to yourself. It doesn't say that. He said, "Not in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the earth." He said in his holy mountain. That's going to be over in the area of Jerusalem. That's going to be over in Israel. And you know what? Basically, he's talking to Israel about this. It's not the whole world for all the people. Because we know this. He has to rule with a rod of iron. Not everybody's. People have this idea. Understand. There's going to be these people left in the earth here that haven't been destroyed with those armies. These people are unsaved. They're not born again. They're unsaved. Living in the earth. Satan's going to be removed from deceiving. Hey, what did Eve do in the garden? We have this idea that people can't think of ways to do wrong without the devil. No, they'll think of ways to do. Now in Isaiah 65 we have, going over to Isaiah 65, we're going to read again here. This is Isaiah 65, verse 19. He said, "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." You see what he's speaking of, Jerusalem and his people? This has to do with the Jews. He says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Now, he's saying at that time, there's going to be sinners in the earth. The sinner in the earth. So, but what does he say? He's talking about the infant. 100 years old, you're still an infant. See, we need to understand what's going to take place in this time period. During the millennial reign, the curse on the earth, which no man has ever lived past 1,000 years, never has lived one day with the Lord. That's when the Lord spoke to Adam and told him on the day that he sinned, he was going to die. Well, did he die that day? No. He, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. He died before he lived one day with the Lord. No man has ever lived one day with the Lord. No man has. But they will during the millennial. That curse will be broken. There's people are going to enter the millennium. They'll be in a certain age and they will live. Because we know the millennium is 1,000 years. But when Satan's released, we don't know how long it's going to be from the time till all of that's fulfilled. How many years? There's people who are going to live to be way over 1,000 years old. There'll be people who live that long. Now he said, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." So here we see, he says it's like a tree. Well, we know trees and their ages and grow so long and how old trees can be. Well, here he's telling us it's going to be the same way with the humans. They're going to be living a long, long time. This is going to be going on. That won't be everyone, but ones are going to live real long, long times in the earth during that time period. It goes, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer them. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Again, in all my holy mountain. He speaks there. The specific place. He doesn't say in all the earth, does he? And so, I think it's best not to read things into stuff. I think it's best to leave it alone, because we found out here it says about the serpent, his food's going to be the dust. The curse on the serpent is going to stay the same. It's not going to be changed during that time period. Now, we're going to read the Psalm, I'm going to start in Psalm 72. We're going to go there because this talks about that time period. Speaks of that time period that's going on. But you see, all this points to Israel and it points to that land. And really, it is obvious thing that the tribulation period has to do with Israel. It's not the focus. It doesn't have to do with the church. It doesn't have to do with all the Gentiles will be saved and things during that time. But the main interest God's turned to is Israel. And so that's going to be the main focus of that period, which sets into the millennial reign of Christ, where Israel will take its place in the earth that God had planned from the beginning. Now, in Psalm 72, verse 1 says, give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. It said, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring, now many times in this talking about when prophecy and that stuff, when it's talking about mountains and hills, it's dealing with nations, is one of the things that it's referenced to. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Now, you know, he said as long as the sun and moon endure. Well, they're not going to endure forever. The sun and the moon is going to be a new heaven and new earth. So we'll be coming, but as long as they endure, this thing is going to be going on here. This is he speaking to Israel, what's going to happen, and it will, through the entire millennium, till the time that Satan is released, and then eventually thrown into the lake of fire, then the final judgment and the new heaven and new earth. So that will take place. And so it's going to be up till that time. It says, verse 6, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. In his day, the righteous shall flourish and the abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. You see, this says about his enemies. There's his enemies. Now, we also have, you know, the fact that it tells us, as we're not reading here, but it says about that one of the things that will take place is during the millennium, if the people from these other nations don't come up to Jerusalem once every year, there won't be any rain in their land. So there's going to be opposition. Things aren't going to be everything sweet and everybody doing what they're supposed to. And they won't be going on like that. So in verse 10 it says, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continuously, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth, and the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those the cities shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall be will call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And it says, this is the prayer of David, the son of Jesse, or endured. Now, David was a prophet. The Bible tells us he was. He was a king, but also he was a prophet. And these prophecies, many of David's prophecies speak toward the future of things. I mean, the 23rd Psalm actually speaks toward the church age. I mean, it was a blessing in their time, but its fulfillment is in the church. So we have these things. We're going to go on to Ezekiel. Ezekiel wrote about these times. So you see, there is so much in the scriptures that tell us about these things of the end times and these time periods. I just wonder why people come up with so much different stuff and things about stuff. If they read the Bible, there's all kind of stuff that tells you. And one of the things, you see how these things all follow each other? They're all same kind. Almost some of it's almost the same language. I mean, it's almost exact same words and things it says. So you can follow these things very easily in scripture. It's not hard to find. If you really look at the Bible, in Ezekiel 34, and verse 23, we're going to start, and it says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Now it says David. Now understand, David has been dead a long time when Ezekiel is prophesying in Babylon. He's up in Babylon when they were carried off there, and Ezekiel's in Babylon and is when this was written. So, David said, see, we need to understand the Bible's references concerning David and his son speaks of many times of Christ is speaking because he's the offspring. He is the son of David. In fact, in the New Testament, they called him the son of David. He was called son of David. That's who he is. He's the son of David, which God promised that David out of his brains would come one. He was going to come, who the Messiah was going to come out of David. That's so when it's speaking here of David, it's not talking about King David. This here is in reference to the Messiah. It said that I, the Lord, will be their God. And you see what it says? He said David's going to be their God. I, the Lord, will be their God. And he said, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in their woods. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. See this? He's talking about all around my hill. That reference again. It said again and again in scriptures. He said, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in the land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bows of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely. No one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus shall they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people. Says the Lord God, you are my flock, the flock of my pasture, and you are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. So in other words, at this time, this is one thing, is Israel's going to be raised up as God's going to operate through there, and the rest of the world is going to know this is the ones that God chose. It's one of the things we know, that the church stands in this position spiritually in a different place than Israel has as a nation. But God has made promise to Israel, and God is going to fulfill all that he said that he was going to do concerning Israel. The church should always show high respect, because Israel has a covenant with God. And anybody that has a covenant with God, people need to show great respect to. We have today The church doesn't show the respect that they should concerning things. We need to run and know the church clock is winding down. God's turning toward Israel. We need to understand these things, and it would be more of a blessing. It is not a good thing for Christians to get on the negative Israel side, because you may not live long in the earth. Not a good thing to do. You never mess with God's people, whether it's the church or whether it's Israel. They have a covenant with God. It'd best be you go, you know, people learn to keep their mouth shut about things. People not like what Israel does, ain't none of your business. When I like what the church does, too bad. It's God's people. He's going to have to deal with it. It's not our job. Well, Ezekiel again in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel speaks here again. 37th chapter of Ezekiel. We go to verse 21. It says, "Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land." Really, during the millennium is the only time that the Jews, all the Jews are going to end up coming back to the land. Now we saw that movement from the period of time, but there's all kind of Jews all over the world, all over nations in that step. But really, millennium is going to be the fulfillment of this. I know there's some people talking about, well, you know, Israel today is the fulfillment. No, it's not. Israel today is not the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment of it, according to Scripture, is going to happen during the millennium when they return. It said, "And I will make them one nation in the land, and on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they be divided into two kingdoms again." See, they were divided into two kingdoms. That's why you ever heard the term of the lost tribes of Israel? The lost tribes of Israel really are dealing with the 10 tribes of Israel that Assyria carried off into captivity. And when they carried them off, they took everybody out of the land. They took everyone, every Jew they took out of the land of the 10 tribes, and they dispersed them all out through the empire. They took all people from other areas of the empire and moved them into Israel. That's what they had done. And so they call them the lost tribes, because what happened was they never did get brought back into the land again. It wasn't like the ones of Judah who went into Babylon and then into the Persian Empire and ended up returning and coming back. They did not. They got dispersed all out through and ended up dispersed. And many of them are Jews. I watched some things, a thing on TV that a guy did on a study of that into areas and that stuff, and finding out people didn't even know they were Jews, but they were practicing certain practices. They didn't know why. They just, their traditions passed on down through, and they found out these people are actually Jews and stuff. They found out some of them that actually, they found out lineage and that stuff of things that people carried. Didn't know why they did, but they were actually part of the priesthood and all kinds of stuff. But they didn't know why. But they've been dispersed out through. Many of them don't practice Judaism. They just, they have an intertwined of a number of different religions sort of mixed together. But there's going to be the day that all of them are going to return, and all the Jews are going to come back to Israel. All of God's people, the ones that belong to Israel, will be returned. Verse 23 is and says, "They shall not defile themselves any more with the idols, nor with the detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And again here, Ezekiel says, "David, my servant, shall be their king." Well, it ain't going to be actual David. This is going to be the Messiah, Jesus. "And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." So here they're going to be under one shepherd. In other words, this is Israel coming back. See, this focus of this millennial reign is about Israel coming back under Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning as Israel was supposed to begin with. So it says, they shall dwell in the land I have given to Jacob my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there. They, their children, and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. See, he's going to rule, sit on the throne of David and the sanctuary forever. He says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God and they shall be my people. The nations also will know. This is what the nations are going to know. That I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. He said, they're going to know that God sanctified Israel. That's the millennial reign is about Israel. The time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled in the earth with humans. Jeremiah wrote, we're going to look at Jeremiah. See, there's a lot said about this, isn't there? Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 4. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up a branch of David, a branch of righteousness. Who's that? That's Jesus. A king shall reign and prosper, execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel... No, it moved on me. Okay, let's get back there. And Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name of which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Really, that speaks connect. You know, we talk about we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but we see in the reference of this term used, that name of righteousness, is what he's going to be known at that time to Israel, the Lord our righteousness. That's what he's going to be known as at that time period. So we can see, now that's some, we could read other scriptures and go through things, but, you know, I think it gets pretty clear, doesn't it? I mean, once you read through scriptures, I mean, we don't have to think up something new or come up with another idea. And, you know, God will fulfill those things. Thank God we as the church, in that time period, we're going to be glorified. We're not going to be like the rest of the earthly people. We're going to be totally different than that. So, but we'll see the fulfillment of all these things, you know. We'll see them and we'll see the light of what it all is supposed to be, you know. You know, because we understand this from Scripture. God reveals parts to us and things. And one of the things God always wants us to walk in faith, we just walk in the light of the part we have. That's all God expects out of us. We don't have to come up with new parts or think about new things. We don't have to do it. Walk in the light of what He shows us. Just walk in faith with those things. Hallelujah. God's well pleased. He's happy. Hallelujah. We don't have to think up some kind of new ideas. So let's go back over to the book of Revelation again. We haven't forgotten. We're in Revelation, the 20th chapter. So we go back over there again, and we're going to pick up there. And so he talks about what happens. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Now, what he does now is we're going to see is a beginning to jump to the end of the 1,000-year reign, and really the time period after that Satan has come and deceived the nations and stuff again, it jumps the whole way past that point and it comes to there. In other words, there's not a whole lot said scripturally about that. Now, he said in verse 4, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark or on their forehead or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now I want to stop there. See, some people say, oh, this is the first resurrection. We need to understand what this is talking about. This is not the church. We don't even know. You know, these people, the people who are beheaded and stuff here, we don't even know. The church, when the church leaves getting their new body, they get glorified like Jesus Christ. We don't know with these people that were beheaded during there. It doesn't tell us. These people don't say they're in glorified bodies. These people are resurrected back into the earth again. Well, why would they need resurrecting in the earth if they're glorified? They wouldn't need resurrected, would they? They would have already been resurrected. They would have been glorified with the rest of the church. This is talking about something, this is a different thing. See, we tried, this is where the church world, we don't put anything in this classification or where it's at. We don't read words. This is about this certain group that's going to come back. They're going to be in their physical bodies and rule and reign with Christ in the earth. It doesn't say they're going to be glorified. It doesn't say any of that. And it doesn't leave the idea, because if they were already glorified, what do they need resurrected? They already have a body. These ones are going to be resurrected. This is the first resurrection of this group. It's not the church. Remember, the church has left as the resurrection has taken place. Well, this is talking about this resurrection here. This is coming down in the areas of the time of final judgment. Things are going to go on. There's these ones who are going to be resurrected. He's dividing things up here. He said, he goes on, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of the Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. He's talking about this 1,000-year reign. Well, the church ain't reigning for 1,000 years. The church is already reigning with Christ forever. This ain't talking about the church. Get some things in our heads. You know, read words on the pages and think about these things, because the church has already been resurrected. In this time period, these people are going to come and reign with Christ. He's talking about a reign that Christ is going to do in the physical earth with physical people for 1,000 years. That's what this is about. The rest who died in that time period, those ones stay dead. They don't get resurrected. The ones who's, you know what, there's going to be a resurrection of the sinners, according to Scripture. They aren't going to have glorified bodies. There's a resurrection coming. So, but it says, blessed and holy is he who has part the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. What's the second death? For they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The second death is going to be the lake of fire. That's the second death. See, the church has no identification with none of this. The lake of fire has nothing to do with us. Of all that things, none of this. This has to do with these people, this time period of what's going on here. And that's why when people need to be careful what they study, because people come up with all kinds of ideas and they say, well, see, you know, there's a church, this is when the resurrection. It tells us a specific group of people that are going to be resurrected. The church ain't in it. Why? Because the church has already been resurrected. How could we get resurrected when we were already resurrected? It is strange what people think. It's specifically telling us the group of people that it's talking about. And it ain't the church. So, people need to get their head straight on about these things. And this is why people read and they're scared of the book of Revelation. Well, when stuff isn't revelation and taught, it's no wonder people get scared. it's people's ideas and thinking on things. Now, we want to look at because of things that said in Matthew speaking. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on his throne of glory, you will have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones. This is talk to his disciples. He said they will judge the 12 houses of Israel. So we want to see concerning dealing the areas of judgment and things and stuff going on is what God said. Jesus told the 12 disciples that they were going to judge Israel. Then he said to Paul said to the church, one of the revelations Paul gives to the church, he said, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 2 and 3, I'm going to read. It says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? See, when people turn around, you know, they take the statement that Jesus said, and says, don't judge not lest you be judged, and they make a whole big doctrine out of it. You got to read what the whole Bible says about judgment, about judging. Paul criticized the church at Ephesus because they wouldn't judge things. They wouldn't judge people about what they were doing. And today, God would do the same with the church today. because they don't judge nothing. They let stuff go on that should never go on. There's people who should be kicked out of churches who are not kicked out of churches because of what they do. People who live in immoral lives, sexual immorality, don't belong in the church. Bible says so. Paul said you don't even as much as eat with them. He said troublemakers. You don't eat with them. You put them out. You judge them. This is where this comes from, as Paul's talking about, dealing with those people. The church don't deal with that today. This is why the church got so messed up. We let grace, we preached a grace that is not gracious at all. It's full of sin. We preach that grace is the ability to sin and get away with it. And we've told you, you're not to judge nothing. It says, judge not lest you be judged. Are you afraid to be judged? What are you doing wrong that you're afraid to be judged? People don't want to judge because they know they get judged, they're in big trouble. Well, if I don't judge anybody, then I can get away with what I want to do. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing.
Amen. Preach.
Because God will judge it. That's why there's so many such sickness today. Judgment. That's why there's so much sickness today. Judgment. That's why. You don't judge, God will. He told the church at Corinth, you don't judge yourself, I'm going to judge you. That's what he said. Wonder if that's true.
Yep.
I know it's in the Bible, but it may not be true. Oh well, hallelujah. It's good nonetheless.
Amen.
But I want you to see the fact that this is not dealing with the millennial reign and what is going on here. This does not have to do the reigning and ruling here is the people who are going to be reigning and ruling. You know, you and I ain't going to be worrying about whether it rains on the earth or it don't rain on the earth. Yes, but they're going on. All that's the thing. This is all natural stuff that's going on here into the earth where Israel is going to be living in this great blessed place. You and I are glorified. We don't need lunch. We can make lunch. You know, the church is in a glorious, glorious position. Why would it deal with that? Would we care about any of that? This is why, when I first got saved, I found out the teachings on the book of Revelation and other things about the end times. I just got so frustrated at it because I thought, don't anybody read the Bible? All they do is pass on what somebody else said. Say the Bible says, and when the Bible says none of it. But they just keep passing and saying things, and it's like, hold it. When these things are said, who's God talking to? Who's He saying this stuff to? Who's He speaking to? Well, He's not speaking to the church. I mean, we were back in the Old Testament. He's speaking specifically Israel and their land. He is speaking specifically to them as a people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the church walks in much weakness because we identify ourselves with the unsaved more than we do as saints of God and born again. We identify ourselves, we think somehow Israel is somehow greater than the church, and we get got all kind of messed up, weird stuff has gotten in. Our teaching has gotten tainted. Now, we're going to go back over to Revelation 20th chapter because we find out here in Revelation 20th chapter verse 7 says this, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as of the sands of the sea. Now, I want you to get this picture. Satan's released. Now, say, why is it? Why would God release Satan? You need to understand, we have people for 1,000 years living in this earth who they're not going to go into the kingdom of God because they've never been deceived. They don't know. They can't stand in the place where the church stands and anybody else. And the people from during the time period of the tribulation, what they went through, a deception in Satan. These people that know nothing about what it is to be deceived are going to have, they're going to have to enter the kingdom like everybody else by faith. See, they've never been deceived. They don't stand in a place where we do. They're going to face it. You know what? What do we find out? Do a couple of them mess up? No, as many as the sands of the sea. Huge amounts of them are going to follow the devil. Just think about this. Jesus Christ is going to be ruling and reigning in the earth, and men are going to follow the devil. You know what? Anti-Semitism is going to be running great. Bigger than today, probably. It doesn't stop. Hatred of Israel is going to send so many people, and even people call themselves Christians, are going to be lost forever. And their hatred. Ain't no haters going to heaven. Haters ain't going to be there. And we need to get hold of this. So he said they're going to, he made some mentions here. He says in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle those whose numbers are the sand of the sea. Gog and Magog, Ezekiel talks about the war with Gog and Magog. This is not the same. It's more of a direction. Is sort of a generic term, even with them, is a generic term of ones in an area. In other words, the same type of people that have come against Israel are going to be the same type of people that come against Israel. It's going to be the same type of people, the same stuff. I believe this. I believe till the 1,000 years are gone, I believe there's going to be people who are going to be primed for Satan to be released. They are not going to like. There's people that are not going to like it that Israel is running the show. They're not going to like it. You looked in things, if you follow things in the past, where we got back the Tower of Babel and all that kind of stuff, where the whole thing that religion was is God was not going to, they were mad at God because he turned around and drowned their forefathers in the flood, the wicked ones, and so they became as wicked. I believe we're going to see sort of the same things roll over all again. You're going to see the same things. Well, who's this guy down there, you know, God, and he's down there with his Jews and they're running the show. We ought to be running it. Well, they're going to take a shot at it. It says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. See, again here, where do they come? They come, it says, up the breadth of the earth around the camp of the saints. Where's that camp of the saints? It's down. They're going to come up to Jerusalem. Here it is all over again. Going to come up to Israel, to the beloved city, and fire came down from God of heaven and devoured them. So, we don't know how, this one thing I say, we have the 1,000-year reign and then Satan is released. How long it is between that period and this period of time, how long it takes him to deceive these bunch, to get them to fire it up to come down and come against Jesus, I don't know. It just sounds dumb, you know, because there's going to be going, you know, I am sure that saints will be in the earth and stuff at the time, you know. We might not be here all the time. We could, you know, go back and forth to any place we wanted to. But anyhow, during that time period, it just sort of, it seems that somebody would get the fact that there's glorified beings in the earth and the idea that Satan thinks he can. I don't know. But he's going to get people to follow it. How long this period takes, so we know that it's going to be actually over 1,000 years till that takes place. 1,000 years Satan's bound, and then so however long, and it doesn't tell us how long it will be till they all go insane again and come down. And I want you to understand, there's going to be a lot of people in the earth in that 1,000 years. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of births. 1,000 years, and people are living to be 1,000 years old. It's going to be producing a lot of people. People ain't going to be dying like it is that we see today. And you can get a lot of people in the earth in a short period of time. It's just like starting off with Adam and Eve and that stuff. If you go back and people living over the times that they did, the estimation of how many millions of people were in the earth at that time was a lot of people in the earth at that time within their time periods. So here, we're going to see that go on. So this 1,000-year period. Then we find this becomes the climatic end. This is the end of things as we know as the earth today, as we know is what the earth 1,000 years, as we know is the physical earth that we live on and things, because it says this takes place then in 20 and 11, verse 11 says, Revelation 20:11 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in them. The sea gave up the dead were in them. the death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. You know, it says about, the sea gave forth. This resurrection here goes, oh, it must be physical bodies. Not glorified, there must be physical bodies. People are coming up into physical bodies. So there's a resurrection. They had a first resurrection. This resurrection here is the resurrection of the judgment of the wicked. This is what's coming. This is what's happening here. It says that death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we see, you know, this is the final things of judgment on there. Now, we need to know, because the difference is, like, you know, people talk about this judgment. I've heard Christians make statements about the white throne judgment. If everybody's going to be there, well, it's not so. We need to know the church has already faced its judgment. Every Christian will have a judgment. The Bible says so. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, it says this, and it says in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter 5, it says, "For we must all appear," 5:10, verse 10, "we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or bad." We appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is not whether you're saved or not. The judgment of the wicked is a judgment, they're looked in the book of life. They're not there. In other words, this judgment here deals with the fact we don't face that judgment. The believer doesn't do that. In fact, Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, in verse 11, he says this, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, and wooden hay and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's works which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is done, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." In other words, your works are judged. We are rewarded into heaven by what we did here in the body. The saint is rewarded by what we did. Understand this in the same way. Everybody going in the lake of fire is not going to be judged the same. Everybody's not going to have the same punishment. They're going to be judged according to their works. We understand we're rewarded according to our works. So it isn't a matter of it isn't about whether or not we're going to get to heaven. If you are not going to heaven, you won't even get there to this place. You won't even be there. This is the saint. The saint goes, and so when we arrive in heaven, we're going to be rewarded about what we did. In fact, the scriptures talk about, if New Testament, about people being ashamed, Christians being ashamed when they get there. Not everybody's going to be oh boy. they're going to go for Jesus and have to be, "You know what? I accepted you, but I didn't live for you. I did my thing." You know, you got to look him in the face and say that. So best to do something here while you're on this side. But we need to understand, this does not deal with them. See, all demons and fallen angels and humans who have not believed on Jesus Christ, the ones who have followed after the Antichrist and who have taken the mark of the beast, all of them will be in the lake of fire that burns eternally. That will be the place that all of them will go. I wanted to go through that. I wanted to do, especially reading those scriptures today. We need to get around. I mean, I think the scriptures are really clear in these things in here, that there's not a bunch of things that have to be added to or taken away from anything. The Bible is really clear. And we need to identify ourselves rightly. This is why, as people have taken things, and is finding out, especially dealing with the book of Revelation, things are pulled out of their sequence of what they're in, and people just sort of stick them in anywhere, any place. They see the word saint and all the rest. Well, this is the church, and is it? Saint was used back in the New Testament. None of them were born again. They were called God's saints. They were saints according to the law of walking in righteousness of faith that they had. But they sure weren't born again people. They still had the nature of sin. That's why they did a lot of what they did. Hallelujah. But we don't have that nature. So I just encourage you, read these things. It should be very hopeful, but people need to know. It's hard for some people to read these things because people, they don't like, when grace is preached in a perverted way, in which it is very much today, that people can't imagine that God will judge people and do the things that are done here. Because you know, we read John 3:16, but we never read John 3:36. We only take 3:16. You know, John 3:36 says the unbeliever has the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, no, it's just the love of God. That's all we got. You know, we ain't having that part. You throw that one out there. We ain't going to that verse. No, we have, and this is what much of Christianity has done. The gospel is a few scriptures pulled out because we don't want anybody to have to really think about what it takes. We don't tell people, you know, you accept Christ, if you want to follow him. Jesus is looking for disciples, not just believers.
Amen.
Many people believe in Jesus, but don't follow him at all. And we don't want that. We need to tell people, because I tell you, people ain't going to get away with this. Because people who are just play believer, when the Antichrist shows up, they're going to follow him.
Amen.
They'll follow him. Because those are people who are only thinking of their own flesh and what they can have at the time. That's what people do. They think about just at the time, well, what's good now? So, hallelujah. We're going to close there. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for, Lord God, being so faithful to reveal things to us and show us. Lord God, I'm so glad that we got to know you on this side. I'm so glad the gospel was preached. How fortunate we are, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, Father, there's one thing that many of us in this room have right here is this, is we've had relatives before us who have walked in the light. And have walked and learned and responded to Jesus. Maybe they didn't know a whole lot, but they, Lord God, they followed you as best they could. And Lord God, that influence was into our lives.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord God, that we heard the gospel and we received it. Lord God, I am so glad that I'm saved. Hallelujah. From the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Thank you for Lord God. And Lord God is, Lord, we look into your word. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for revealing all the truth to us, not just showing us some little part here and there. Lord God, I thank you that you're raising up a people of strength. People, Lord God, in these last days that can look people in the face and tell the truth.
Amen.
And speak the truth to people. Hallelujah. Lord, the scripture tells us there's some people that are going to have to be grabbed out of the fire. They're going to have to be jerked out of it. They ain't coming out any other way. And they ain't going to be just nice and sweet. You're going to have to jerk them out. And I thank you, Father God, that you're raising up people to jerk people out of the fire. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
that will stand and preach the gospel and the truth of it, Father God. Lord, because it has never been your will for man. You don't want man under your judgment and under your wrath. You want men in your salvation. And Lord God, that's where we want to bring people to. And so we thank you, Father God. Thank you for your anointing that's working on us mightily in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.